Hey, Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. That means good old Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show in just a second. Second portion of the show today, we're going to be joined by former Gator linebacker, Hall of Famer, Mike Peterson, who had a long NFL career, been at South Carolina as the linebacker coach for quite some time. So we'll get to talk to Mike Pete today. But in the meantime, let's go on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, and we are joined by Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show. Good morning, Buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. How you doing? Yon Hall, look at that shirt. That's cool. A lot of stories behind that, baby.
Yes, indeed. And we'll talk about what you you had Leonard Jordan, Willie Jackson Sr. on your show last night. Yeah. You know, the two first African-American football players at the University of Florida. I think we've both had them on our show, and it's a tremendous story. They're trying to do an endowment in their names, which should get done, I hope, because they deserve it.
I hear it's close. I talked to someone last night. They said getting close to it, so it's good. And by the way, here's what I learned from your show, and how sardonic I was. I saw them both play. I didn't know until I read your tease about today's show that Adrian Peterson and Mike Peterson were brothers. I didn't know that.
Just so people know, not the Adrian Peterson that's still playing in the NFL.
Right.
His younger brother went on to Georgia Southern, was a running back. He played in the league, I think, for the Bears and maybe even the Vikings at some point.
Right.
But, you know, he won the gosh, I don't know what they call it. You would know. The equivalent to the Heisman Trophy at the Division II level. I can't remember what the name of that trophy is.
He was a good player at Southern. He really was.
Very, very good player.
Yeah.
Buddy, before we jump into some topics, I just want to get your thoughts. I don't know if you watched much of the weekend series against the Miami Hurricanes. Just your thoughts on losing the series, which I think surprised a lot of people.
Fire Sully.
Firing. Get rid of it.
It's a cancel culture, baby. Fire Sully. He lost a couple of games, and, you know, he's like Mike White. He can't coach. Yeah, that was unfortunate because they had it right there in front of them that first game, and they lost one of their great arms in the bullpen in the middle of leaving lack. And they put too many guys on base, especially a leadoff. You hate to see those leadoff hitters get walked. God, it kills you. They had that game in hand on the second game. And let it get away. They couldn't get the big hit, let Miami back in and kept them alive. They should have closed that game out. And then they just started way too late on Sunday, losing 8-6. That was disappointing. I know it's not the end of the world, but it was the new ballpark, number one ranked team in the country. And that's deflating to lose your position in 24 hours. And now Ole Miss is number one.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of baseball. If anybody out there 56-0, they were crazy. But you're right. The first series, you'd like to have won it. It is what it is. I mean, baseball is such a game of inches. You know, we didn't pitch the ball very well. That's one thing we hang our hat on. Rick says the Division II, it's called the Harlan Hill Trophy.
Okay, Rick, I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's for the Heisman Trophy of Division II.
That's so a smart listeners, yeah.
Yeah, we do have a great listening staff. They correct me when I'm wrong. Yeah, so baseball, it is what it is. I think they play tonight in Jacksonville against North Florida. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. They're a very good baseball team. Long, long season. They will be fine, folks. They will be fine. But you're right. You know, those people talking about Sully. He probably made a decision that he wishes he would change. But it's easy to second guess when you're not the skipper.
But that's what we do in baseball,
buddy. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Melton Law.
Mm-hmm.
The only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators.
Yeah.
And before the show, you and I were discussing some spring practice clips.
Mm-hmm.
And John says here on Facebook Live, Bowman on the wheel route.
I told you. I gave you a tell you what's happening. They were going nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, all right, Heisman. Heisman's coming next, you know. And by the way, it was nice because Bowman's a new name. And one of the, by the way, just so you know, Dan Mullen did get the number one and two ranked players in the transfer portal. According to the 247 article I read, he ranked them all. But people are looking for a little something to grab a hold of. And as you explained to me, I mean, look, let's be honest. We're both quarterbacks. You at a much higher level than I. Even I could throw the wheel around, okay?
Yeah, so I just want to comment on that because you said people were all over that last night on your show. First of all, I wasn't in the rotations. The ones don't go against the ones all the time in spring ball. They have like a rotation going. So sometimes you may be lined up. And I, like I said, I didn't see – I saw the clip very quickly. I don't know who the defenders were at the linebacker position and at the corner. I want to say they could have been walk-ons. They look kind of like walk-ons. I could be wrong. But it was a pick play, exactly what we did against Georgia. It was set up perfectly. And, folks, that is the easiest – one of the easiest throws in all of football to make. So, yes, it was fun to see it on Dan Mullen's Twitter account or whatever, Instagram. But let's just hold the horses
well,
down.
Well, you know it was
Anthony,
a mess.
Because Anthony hit a wheel route.
Yeah. But you know what it was, the Gator fans all said, it was a message to Kirby Smart. Look what we got. But it was good to see. Here's why you couldn't to know the defensive backs and linebacker. They weren't in the picture. There was nobody there. So anyway, but you know, it's nice to have something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, and let's not forget Coach Mullen and them, whoever's running his little live or
social media,
whoever's putting those feeds up, they're not going to put up anything where we throw interceptions or we make bad throws. Right. Let's remember that. You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't look good.
I do know that, yes.
So, buddy, tonight, Mike White and his crew traveled to the Plains against Auburn. Do you think it's a must-win situation tonight?
I don't think it's a must if they're going to make – I think they're going to make the tournament. I really do.
Oh, they're in the tournament.
Yeah. But it's not a must for what? I mean, you'd like to see them not have these mental lapses. There are times, like when they were up by 18 against Georgia, they looked like a number one seed. Unbelievable. But they let teams back in at the end. I know it's all – a lot of teams do. But there's flashes of brilliance. If you didn't have the flashes of brilliance, you'd say, well, it's not a good, very good year. This team is capable, but they can't seem to put it all together. They had a nice run for a while, then they lost a couple of them. It's good to see them back against Georgia. I don't know if it's a must-win. Really, for that team, it depends upon how well they shoot. If Noah Locke's knocking that three down, you know, if they're making those threes and they're playing, and against a great post play, obviously out of Castleton, and they get all getting foul trouble. So I think it's an important win. I don't think it's a must win.
No, I mean, they got three regular season games left at Auburn, at Kentucky, and then home to Missouri, who I think is a very good basketball team. I can't figure them out. And then I had Chris Harry on yesterday, and he says there's talks that they may add some games, some makeup games before the SEC tournament. Here's what I did. I was in Jacksonville yesterday on some work, buddy, and I was listening to Frangie and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to a lot of sports talk radio, but I like to listen to Frangie when I'm over that way.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
He gave a stat that, and I wish I could have like rewound my radio in my truck. But it was along these lines, and this is for all the Gator fans that want to fire Mike White. He said in the last 4 years, four consecutive years, only nine coaches have taken their team to the NCAA tournament in four consecutive years. And there was nine teams. It was Gonzaga, Michigan State, Duke, I want to say North Carolina, Kansas, Florida State. Like I said, I wish I could have written it down.
Really?
But Florida was one of them. Of only nine schools in America that have been to four straight NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, of course, none of them went last year. So, but I mean,
right? But we would have gone last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were his thing was like he was on it because everybody wants to fire Mike White, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But he is one of only nine coaches to take his team to four consecutive NCAA tournaments.
Good stat. So, well, I mean, here's what you have to do. Watch the other teams. What do you think they're doing? They're struggling too. around the home in Kentucky. My word, look how bad Kentucky now. They finally got a big win. But, I mean, look at the other teams. They're all playing badly. And I think when you look at Mike White's, I mean, he's had some – one thing I like is post play. He's really gotten interesting and good now and fun. And sometimes I get a little bit – I love Trey Mann. I've known him since he was in high school. Sometimes I just wish his passes weren't quite so lazy. You know what I mean? It seems like sometimes he just sort of launched and launched it. I know he didn't mean to do that. He's a great kid and a good player. Everybody raves about him. But there's things you can find wrong with every team. And this team, I think, has had an okay year. Fire Mike White, like I said, fire Sully. You know, I mean, that's the way.
Well, it's funny you say that. We got a text on the Titanomar text line. It comes from Daryl. He says, when will the idiots come out and say they need to fire Kevin O'Sullivan?
There you go. There you go.
And then we got another text here on the Titanomar text line. This comes from Ryan. He said, I got to get these texts on this text line, buddy. I got to either wear my glasses or I got to change the font because it's getting smaller and smaller.
Well, you can do that. I would have done it a long time.
You're well, getting- not, this isn't actually my own text. This is an app that had the text come in, so I don't know how that works.
Okay.
Anyway, Ryan says, I'm with you on the new ballpark. Hate to complain after so many years of sitting in the concrete and aluminum sweatbox, but with it being such a thing of beauty and Florida's new on-campus gym, I hated looking beyond the left field fence and seeing what looked like a storage shed portable building business.
Huh.
So I was complaining, buddy, because I went and watched a few innings.
Yeah.
And if you look at this, and I walked around, if you look at the stadium from the outfield in, man, it is spectacular. And I'm with Ryan. I don't want to sit here and be Debbie Downer. But when you look out to the outfield,
right,
I wish they could come plant some, you know, 10, 20-foot oak trees around the outer portion of the stadium, because you got those sheds and stuff out there on the other side of that road. It's just it's an eyesore.
I see. Now, you can't plant a 20-foot oak tree, Shane. Well, that's not how it works. No, you can't.
Seen them bring them in on those cranes?
I have. But, I mean, that's not often done with a 20-foot oak tree. But, anyway, I get what you're saying.
10, 20-footer then.
Okay, whatever. I'm agreeing with you. I agree. I noticed it a little bit as you bring it up. It's such a beautiful ballpark. And $65 million, is that what it was?
Probably something wrong with
that. Yeah, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. $65 million, that's crazy. Yeah, so I think that's why it was such, unfortunately, a downer, as you point out, losing games in that beautiful ballpark, won the first, had the second, could have won it, and then on the night when they were celebrating, that just kind of let Miami, of all people, Miami back in it, and they end up winning the series.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Okay, so, buddy, I know on your show last night, a lot of people were excited about spring football. Do you have a lot of people talking about – I've had people ask me thinking there's a quarterback – I don't say controversy, but competition or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yes, there's competition every day at every position.
Right.
But this is – I want people to understand, this is Emory Jones's team right now. He has waited his turn.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, this is Dan's first recruit that he really flipped and went after. And, you know, I know people were excited about Anthony getting in the Cotton Bowl and throwing a touchdown pass that, honestly, buddy, you could have right now at your age thrown that touchdown because it was a busted coverage and the guy was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Anthony's got a lot of ability, has a long ways to go, and has a chance to be a really good player. But right now, this is Emory Jones's team. You agree or disagree?
I agree. And as you say, he's waited his turn. But, you know, Dan's system, he's always got one right behind the other guy. He's always had – I mean, look, Kyle Trask was – I mean, he wasn't even the picture, basically. He likes to have that security. And I watched a little bit of the clips yesterday, and here's what I'm seeing with him. And actually, the way he's carrying himself, Emory Jones looks different. You can tell by how a guy carries himself, Shane. You know that. Just the way he walks, his posture, he looks like a leader. He looks different. He looks ready. And who started this myth that he can't throw?
He looks different, and his body language is different because he knows he's the guy.
That's my point.
When you're sitting back and you know there's already a starter, you just kind of, I don't say you go through the motions, but you kind of do what you do. You know, you get a couple reps here and there, you go in. Emory's got a great arm. I think Emory can't throw the football. I think this spring is going to help him. He is not as accurate as Kyle Trask was.
Who was?
But he brings something different to the table with his running ability.
Yeah, and also, if I might add, I've said this before on your show, and I'll say it again, he's just got to learn to have a changeup. He can't throw everything 96 miles an hour.
Correct.
And if he gets that little touch, he's got it. I think he's got whatever he needs. I think he's going to have a really good year this year.
Yeah, well, we all do. We hope so. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. February is your lucky month at WrapSpot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. We're speaking with Buddy Martin on the Titan MR Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Remember, around 8:30, we'll be joined by Mike Peterson, former Gator linebacker, who's in the UF Hall of Fame now, an assistant coach for the South Carolina Gamecocks. So we got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Meldon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. John says, why does Coach Mullen require all quarterbacks to wear a brace on their left knee? That's basically, it's your lead leg when you're in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this all started, a lot of other schools do it too. When Tom Brady, several years ago, his left leg got, somebody fell on it, towards ACL. So it's just to protect them from any knee injuries. Now, if somebody comes barreling in there 100 miles an hour, that knee brace ain't going to do a damn bit of good. But if little things, if guys just kind of fall and roll into you, it can protect your knee. So that's
who asked that question? Who was it?
John.
That's a really good question.
Great question. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people probably wonder why that is, but that's what it is. You can wear both if you want, but players don't like these knee braces. Yeah. And he requires the quarterbacks to wear them on their left. Or, I should say, if you're a left-hander, you would wear it on your right knee.
Right, right.
This is just for practice, not in games, just for
not
practice.
In games, yeah.
Yeah. Brandon says here on Facebook Live, EJ has all the tools, just needs the O-line to hold its own. You know, he's got a chance to have a good year. There's no question.
Here's why I like the offensive line. The one thing you cannot beat in the offensive line is experience. That makes as much difference in that position as anywhere. The experience of the guys playing together is really important to me. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The offensive line is like a basketball team. You know, they got to get used to each other. They got to know each other's, you know, when you throw a no-look pass, where is the guy? And I think this team now with the age, especially that we got some six-year guys in there, it's going to be a pretty good offensive line. I'm not really worried about the offensive line. It depends on what kind of offense they run. We'll see.
Well, we know what they're going to run, buddy.
Well, no, they're going to run a little more RPOs now than they did before.
Well, yeah, you're just going to see a lot of quarterback runs. They may not be RPOs.
Right.
We ran a lot of RPOs with Kyle Trask. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, well, just basically, an RPO is not when the quarterback takes off running. An RPO is a run play that is called – but there's a pass patterns built in, and the quarterback is reading a couple of different defenders in the box, and he just pulls it and throws slants and hitches and things like that.
Just like my high school offense. That's how we ran. We call it the Georgia-Miami Drive Series. We pull it out of the fullback's belly, and we kept it, pitched it, or threw it. I mean, a little more of the reading now. And the difference, in my opinion, now you know this, is the wide receivers know what's happening. They know based on what happens – the defenders, where the ball's going to go. That's the difference.
Andre has a question here on Facebook Live brought to you by Metal Law. What was the connection between the Gators and the Chicago Bears and the Gators and the Patriots? I know you and Grossman became Bears. I think he's referring to that one year when I think Rex, Ian Scott, Todd Johnson, Alex Brown, there were a ton of Gators on the Bears at one time. Heck, it's just the way it works out. Yeah. You know, whether you get drafted or sign as a free agent, whatever it may be. So I don't know if there's really a connection there. It just happened to work out.
Well, you know, there was one other famous Gator that played a long time for the Bears. You probably don't know who he is.
Wilbur Marshall?
No, way back. Rick Caceres.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Well, he was a famous guy in the 50s around here as a running back. A phenomenal physical specimen. Played basketball, too. And he was his muscles. He was just jacked, and he was a bad dude. I got to tell you, and he was a great player for a long time for the Bears. And the Bears fans, older ones, know who he was. But yeah, there's things that happen like that. But I don't know why it just happens.
Buddy, you were mentioning earlier before the show, you still think there's a possibility that Tim Tebow becomes a Jaguar?
Well, I don't know that I think it's going to happen. I just think it needs to happen because there's some things, you know, that, and I'm writing about this week, you know, that old line, there's a guy named Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, until Tim Tebow finally comes home and close that loop, I don't care if it's for a year to play H-back, whatever, it's not going to be complete. It was a wrong. It was, they should have gotten him from day one. I'm not saying he'd been a great player, but the whole thing that happened in Jacksonville wouldn't have happened. But I think now they have a chance to get it rectified. Even if he comes for a year and plays H-back, and he and Urban, and even Coach Spurrier, I'd like to see them become more like a family, a Gator Jags family. You know what I mean? I think it'd be good for all concerned. And I think Tebow coming there, and I don't know how much of a quarterback he could be. I think he'd be more of an H-back. And I was talking to Coach Spurrier about it yesterday. It should happen. I don't know Urban's feelings about it. I hope to have him on show next week. We'll find out. But I think it's a natural progression that somehow, some way, Tebow comes to the Jaguars. It's got to happen.
Well, I have people ask me, you know, maybe he's going to coach. There is no way in the world he isn't going to be a football coach. No way.
That he isn't?
You know why? There's no way. Oh. No. Because I don't think people realize Tim's got a lot of stuff going on outside of sports. You know, he does a tremendous job for different charities, yeah, speaking engagements.
Yeah.
He won't be able to do those if he coaches.
Yeah.
And coaching, that is your life, you know. And I'm sure Tim eventually wants to have a family or whatever, but I just don't think he has the mindset to be a coach because of all his extracurricular stuff going on.
Yeah.
Because you got to give it all up. And now, from a player standpoint, I could see it happening. However, you mentioned why hasn't happened it before him become a Jaguar. I don't think whether it was Doug Marrone or whoever the other coaches were there thought he was good enough to help their team at the quarterback position, and they didn't want to deal with the circus. And what I mean by the circus is if Tim Tebow, number 15, is sitting on the sidelines in a game when the Jaguars are getting beat 28-3, what's going to happen with the fan base? You're going to hear the Tebow cries, right? Yeah. Well,
yeah, but I said get over it, man. Get over
well,
it.
Well, no. So hear me out. Hear me out. So they that's why, in my opinion, they never wanted to sign him there. It's different now with Urban because I've told you on this show, the fans ain't going to be hollering for Tebow because they're going to have one of the best to ever come out of college at the quarterback position. But when Tebow comes in the game, you know, at tight end or H-back or a quarterback for Wildcat, fans will be excited. But I don't think the circus will be – and I don't want to call it circus. That's probably but you know what I'm talking about. All the hoopla.
I do.
All the hoopla will be different now because he's with Urban, but you got Trevor Lawrence, who is the guy. He is the face of the franchise now.
Yeah.
That's all people talk about in Jacksonville is Trevor Lawrence. And they should. They've never had that quarterback since Mark Brunell, but this guy has a chance to be special.
I heard a story yesterday. Brunell's going to coach for the Lions.
He left, I guess, almost a month ago
it's
now.
It's been that long ago. I'm behind on this. I don't follow.
Yeah, he was teammates with Dan Campbell, who's now the head coach. They were teammates for a few years and good buddies at the Saints.
Right.
And Brunell's been a high school coach over at Episcopal for quite some time and been waiting for his opportunity and finally got it because it's all about who you know.
At one point, back to Tebow. I've heard this. I've gone through this same thing with so many coaches and players where there's been a natural fit and everybody can see it. And the brain trust said, well, we can't have that. We don't need that. Let me tell you something. Coach Spurrier almost didn't get hired at Florida for the same reason. Well, you know, we don't want all that here. Blah, 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 blah. And I'll call his name. Bill Arnsberger didn't really want Spurrier to be the coach. And I happened to have been here at that time, living in Jacksonville. Living that story and behind the scenes with what was going on. And I'm telling you that there were people who said, well, Spurrier will never work here. And we can't have that. We don't want his distraction. That's malarkey. If a guy can help your team and also bring together, look, if he went there 1 year and played and became a consultant at a Jaguar, that would close the door. And that would be the rest of the story. It's just a natural thing that needs to happen.
Yeah. Rick says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mountain Law, Tebow will sell tickets. That's true in the past. I think they've sold them all out right now with Trevor Lawrence coming in. So he may add a few additional tickets, but the fan base is jacked for Urban being there and for Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. Buddy, back to basketball. Think the Gators win tonight?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to shoot. I mean, you know, get down to the low post. I don't know how the matchups are going to be. You know, this is a team that could lose any night and win any night. There, like I said, there are times they look like they're a number one seed. I mean, the Georgia game for the first half. When they're shooting lights out and they're leading by 18 in the first half, you think, my goodness, where has this team been? So I don't know. I'd say yes, I think they win, but I don't know.
All right, buddy. I think they win now. They got to stop Sharique Cooper now. They didn't play great defense against the little point guard against Georgia the other day.
Right.
This guy's an NBA player.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't expose
us. I've not seen Cooper. I don't know. I hear a good
You haven't seen him?
No, but I've heard about him.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Yeah. Lake Placid. Don't forget Lake Placid 41 years ago. Lake Placid.
You were there.
I was there, and it was still, to this day, if it wasn't the number one upset in college sports of all the ones I've covered, it was right behind Joe Namath in the Super Bowl and beating the Colts. And I was there for that one too. So it's just an amazing story of what happened for a bunch of can-do guys to get together. And that night, watching that happen, unfold before my very eyes, hanging on the side of a rafter of a bleacher because my seat was taken in the press box. And watching that take place was absolutely fantastic memory, and I'll always treasure it.
Yeah, that had to be an outstanding time to be there. I remember where I was.
Where were you?
I guess I should say I got to see the hockey match or hockey game.
The next day,
yeah.
Because it's not on live. People don't realize. And it wasn't the gold medal round. It was the semi.
I think people forget that.
Yeah.
Because we could have easily not won the gold medal.
Lost to Sweden. Yeah, exactly.
Now, I think I asked you before, but I'm going to ask you this, and maybe somebody can correct us. Is that the last time the United States has hosted the Winter Olympics?
You know, I don't know if they had one at Squaw.
Or did we have it out in Salt Lake City 1 year?
It could have been. You know, Shane, I'm not good at remembering stuff like that. It might have been. Just one I remember because I was there. You must have been 9 years old when that happened, by the way, watching that.
I was.
Yeah.
We got a couple more Facebook Lives here. I want your thoughts on these. Brandon says, would it make more sense for Urban to possibly grab Cam Newton than Tebow?
I don't know.
No, here's what people need to realize. If Tebow goes there, he's going to have a role. He ain't going there to be the starting quarterback. And so they're looking for backups because Trevor Lawrence is their guy. That's it. He is the franchise now.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to we're going to take our time out, first time out of here. We're hoping to get Mike Peterson. He just texted me. They're in some meetings up at South Carolina. They were supposed to be out of them. So, buddy, can you hang on for a minute?
I will, yes. I'll be right here,
We're going to take our first time out of the program. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We're the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations. Center State Bank, member FDIC. Going to take a first time out. Come back. We may be joined by Mike Peterson. We may have Buddy.
Stuck with me.
If Mike gets out of his meeting, we'll have Mike. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Neapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Celebration points where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Nike, Sensei, Dave & Buster's opening soon, Prime and Pearl in coming spring of 2021. The HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point where the Gators come to celebrate. We're hoping to be joined by Mike Peterson. We may not. He just texted me. I guess Shane Beamer has him in a meeting going a little bit longer than he anticipated. So we're going to stick with our good friend, Buddy Martin. Buddy, speaking of the head ball coach's restaurant, I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know if they put it up yet, but they have in one of the bathrooms, the wallpaper is made up of some of his favorite Gator football, or not just Gator. I want to say something from Duke. I think everywhere he's coached, some of his favorite plays, he has them drawn up. That's the wallpaper.
I heard about it. I saw Norvell had posted it yesterday. Yeah, you know, there's some really nice touches there and things that I don't think people realize. Based on the photograph that we ran last week of Coach Spurrier pointing to the Spurrier sign, that was the back of the building. And people say, well, it's a nice little sports bar. It ain't a sports bar.
No. You know,
and I think this is one thing that that people are realizing. This is not just, this is an amazing place. And really I think I'm not just hyping, because I think anybody who's been there and seen it knows that it's got so many things. Like Freddy's thought of everything. Like there's a room called the HBC room for small parties, all right? And it held 12 people originally. Okay, just a nice little room. So I said, I texted Freddie. He said, Freddie, you got to make it 11. Mm-hmm. He said, it's already done. So obviously, I mean, little touches like that. There's a drink, which you're going to hear about, called the Kick, which is going to be fabulous. And I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, so yeah, so it's fun, a good place. And turns out the picture I talked to Coach Spurrier about yesterday, the one people thought where he's pointing like that to the Spurrier sign, that was the back of the building. That's not even close to the size.
Yeah, that's the they have a little section that's not even part of the restaurant where you're referring to, just for takeouts.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a takeout place. So people don't understand. Scott Strickland was out there. He thought it was a sports bar originally. He's what was he in for a surprise? So and they're having tours, as you know. I'm sure you'll be doing a lot of your shows out there. I might show up for one and may do one of my own out there. So it's going to be kind of a cool hangout, a place that – and it's also a museum. And the artifacts that they found of his – I won't mess up Freddie's story, but there's several things that are really important to history. And by the way, I'll mention this. Someone posted the other day about the five biggest moments in the Swamp. Now, here's the problem with that. It's like when people ask about sports, it's like they have to be everything after 1989 because the ESPN wasn't invented until then. You know, it's like, oh, it couldn't happen because it wasn't on ESPN. And they tend to think about, well, just these things, and here they were. They mentioned blocking the field goal and Tebow, whatever. But think about this. I'll raise this question. I'm writing about it later on this month. If Steve Spurrier had not made that field goal against Auburn, and I was sitting right there when he made it. And by the way, it surprised us all. We didn't know that he went to the sideline, that he was getting in his shoe. We thought it was a fake. He didn't kick field goals. He kicked two against Northwestern one time, and that was it. And he gets that shoe, kicking shoe, and goes out and kicks that thing through. We'll argue about how good it was and how it wasn't didn't split the uprights by 20 yards like Coach might indicate, because Norm Carlson and I were talking about it. But it got through. If he hadn't made that, how would that have altered history? He wouldn't have won the Heisman Trophy. I can tell you that for sure. Because that day, the New York Times was there covering that game. Games were on TV. There was no television Gator games. In that game, that play won him the Heisman, okay? What if he hadn't won the Heisman? You know, what if he hadn't come back to coach here? You know, what would have happened if Steve Spurrier didn't come in and you were part of that 1990s? It was transformative. So when you talk about the great plays, maybe it wasn't the most exciting one, the most memorable one. That was a critical play for Florida football when he kicked that field goal.
No question about that. Buddy, we got some Facebook Lives here. And, you know, I told you I had great research staff. Mm-hmm. Rick says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law, the Winter Games have been held in the U.S. four times.
Okay.
Most of any country in 1932, 1960, 1980, and 2002. Okay. 2002 was in Salt Lake City.
Okay, you're right about that. I forgot.
Yeah, I was a guess.
It was good. And I do know Squaw Valley was part of that. So, yeah. I've only been to one that was Lake Placid. So nice job, Rick.
I got a couple of texts here on the Titan Mark text line. And buddy, you may be better at answering these than me. And again, folks, we're still hoping to get Mike Peterson on. We're probably going to reschedule him. He was supposed to be out of a meeting at 8:15, but I guess Shane Beamer is going a little bit longer.
Shane Beamer's he's a taskmaster, isn't he?
He must be.
You know, Coach Spurrier wouldn't go like those long meetings.
No. Because they haven't even started spring ball yet. This comes from Phil on the text line. He says, Dez Watson is big, but not college strong. When he gets college muscle, how good is he going to be? And I think is he referring to the kid that's like 400-something pounds?
I think that's it. I saw a little video of him yesterday. I hadn't seen the drill. They have the drill where they have this cage thing over their head to make them hit low, block low. You know, and he looks, I can't tell. He looks like his feet are okay. I don't know these names, these people. I mean, I hear about them. I see them. We don't know. How are we going to be able to tell that right now? But I know what he's saying. I mean, I'm sure Coach Hevesy has a reason he's there. His size, he figures he's a project. And, you know, you can use a left guard to block out the sun once in a while because it gets lonely back there. So I don't know the answer, but he's interesting. I'll say that.
He's a big human being, obviously. And Phil had another text here, and we mentioned it earlier in the show about Bowman scoring on a wheel route in practice yesterday. Do you think Mullen just ran that to mess with Georgia? No, that's just part of their offense. And it's amazing to me. People think this wheel route is like something new. Yeah. Wheel route, you know, it's nothing new, folks. Everybody
runs it. Threw it in high school. It can't be new. Okay.
That's right. John says on Facebook Live, Watson is 6'5", 432.
Okay. Ooh. All right, John. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play at 432. That's my guess.
Definitely got to lose some weight. Has anybody ever played it over 400 pounds?
That's a great question, Shane. I don't know.
Because I know the big – what was it, big Mount Cody for Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama knows
time. I think he may have been about 375, 380.
He was never 400, I'm sure.
I don't know if I've ever seen a football player.
I don't think I have. I think you're right about that. That's a good stat. Where's this crack research team of yours?
We got Dave on a text here. He says, long-time listener, first-time texter. He wanted to know, Shane, did you go to the softball game? They look great at 8-0. No, I have not been. I don't usually go out to softball until they crank up the SEC play because they take care of all these little the JUs of the world and Georgia Southerns and stuff. So I wait till conference play when it's really competitive. But, buddy, have you ever been to a softball game here?
I never have. Your buddy Jim.
You need to get your media pass.
All right, will you take me?
And go. Well, yeah, we can go, but I'm just saying it is – in my opinion, I take football out of it because everybody loves football games.
Right.
It's the best sporting event on campus by far.
Yeah.
Well, you got a very good
football. One of your good friends is the coach, though, too.
Well, you know? I'm not saying that just because I'm friends with him. It's here's the reason. You got extremely talented young ladies that are very good at what they do. So you got a great product, but it is fast-paced. It's moving. Something is always going on, and it doesn't last very long.
You know what? I watch a lot of them on TV for that reason. I watch more women's softball, there's no men's games, than I do baseball for that very reason. It's quick. It moves. I mean, it's, you know, baseball can be very, very dull and boring. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to sit through an entire baseball game. And I agree. I think it's a wonderful sport and had great success. I mean, what remarkable success these teams are having. I mean, look at the gymnastics team.
Yeah.
They didn't have their star. They didn't have the coach. Somebody COVID, they go out and kick ass. I mean, that's hell of an effort. I don't hear people talking about that. They're going to complain about Mike White, you know, into something like that. So
yeah, gymnastics is amazing to me. You know, I watched some of their meet the other night, and as you said,
LSU.
It was Kentucky when they had everybody. I like to say they had a bunch of their starters out, which they aren't really considered starters in gymnastics. But
no.
It's just amazing to me what the balance beam. And here we are, we're talking gymnastics, and neither one of us know anything about gymnastics.
Really,
it is amazing what those girls do on that. I don't even have wide that. Beam is 4 inches, maybe.
Maybe.
My staff is at work here, buddy. Rick says at 6'9" and 400 pounds, Daniel Falale became All Big Ten honorable mention at right tackle in 2018.
Okay. Polynesian player.
Obviously,
probably a Polynesian. Yeah. Well, that's a good stat.
And Brandon says here, we got a Facebook Live brought to you by Mental Law, and this is a baseball question. I know it was just the first series for Gators baseball,
mm-hmm.
but is Fabian really the real deal? 15 at-bats, 2 hits. He is the real deal.
Yeah, he'll be high in the draft.
Yes, a lot of people thought he'd be one of the top 5 picks. You think he still will be? Just started the year out?
I mean, look, baseball, if you follow baseball, you know this. It is a game of cycles. I mean, you had great players go 0-for-30. I mean, it just happens in baseball. That's how it is. Nobody, there are very few people who go out and get 2 base hits every game or whatever. It's just a game where in the long major league seasons, and I covered a little major league baseball, you have to understand the players know this. The guy goes 0-for-4. That's a bad day. But they're going to happen, and you're going to have streaks. Fabian will be back. He'll be a star. He'll be picked top 5. He'll be a great player. Just because he didn't play well for one series means nothing.
Yep. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. We're speaking with Buddy Martin on the Titan More Hotline. We were supposed to have Mike Peterson this portion of the program. Mm-hmm. He texted. He was supposed to be out of a meeting at 8:15, but Shane Beamer, the head coach at South Carolina, has kept them, his coaches, a little bit longer, and we want to thank Buddy for staying here. Buddy, we got another Facebook Live.
I'm not Mike Peterson, in case you were wondering, okay?
You look like you.
I'm a lot better looking than Mike, okay?
There you go. Ellis asked on Facebook, any chance Gator baseball will open up attendance so more fans can watch games in person?
Well, you
have you heard anything about that?
No, it's the COVID, man. It's all about that. It doesn't matter what they would like to. It's just like the restaurant, like I heard Freddie tell me the other day, when they get 30% vaccination, they're going to start thinking about things like this. So I don't know. That's all dictated by the medical department, and I have no idea. But I'm sure it will before the year's out, don't you think?
I would think they would increase it maybe next month some, a little bit, because, you know, it's outside, so that helps. You know, you can spray some out on those burns down. You know, they have little squares painted where you could sit. You can sit along the outfield fence. So I would think they would increase it. I hope they do, because, you know, a lot of people want to go see the new ballpark.
Of course. And I think it'll be a great, nice way to spend the spring day coming up, you know.
Yep. All listeners out there, make sure you follow us on Facebook and YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, any of the 39 platforms that we are on. Make sure you follow us. Buddy, before we let you go, talk to us a little bit about Gator Bait. What's going on with Gator Bait?
Well, you know, we have a terrific staff of people, by the way. I want to brag on this a minute, because Cassie Hill is one of the best. I had her on the other night, and Ben Troop, who's my guest tonight, made a comment that she is really good at what she does. And she is. She understands football like few, let alone women, people do. She's really good at football, and she writes wonderful stuff. Of course, Franz Beard, the sage, he had a good comment today. We were going to mention it. Trey Dean, you know, and what Trey Dean says about Emory Jones. a quote from his the piece. I'll read it to you. If people think Emory Jones can't throw the ball, they need to second guess it. Emory Jones can throw the ball as well as Kyle Trask. I think he can do everything with his legs also. I think he'll be a great dual threat, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. This one, Trey Dean talking about Emory Jones. So dispel the theory he can't throw the ball. Anyway, Gator Bait, we've got Cassidy Hill, who's a superstar, in my opinion. Franz Barrett, who's been around longer than anybody, writes a wonderful column 4 or 5 days a week. And of course, then we've got other people on our staff that, like Ainsley Lee, just graduated. She's a bright young reporter. And I think we put together every week a good pack, as good a package on coverage of Gator sports as anybody. Until I can get Shane to start writing a column soon. I'm waiting on that soon. And Brady Ackerman writing a column. Then I got it all going on, right?
Here you do. There's no question. We got another text here on the Titanmore text line. It comes from Fred. He says, if Bill Arnsberger had gotten his way, there would be no Spurrier Gridiron Grill.
I'm telling you, that's true. And I'll tell you why I know. I was at lunch with Bill Arnsberger that fall on the middle of the year when the coaching search was going on. And I knew some things that were going on inside a little bit, a couple of friends of mine. And I knew the resistance Arnsberger was putting up. And I said, How's the search going for the head coach? You know, he said to me, this is like, honestly, this is like late October. He said, well, there's probably some real bright young assistant coach out there we'd like to get. That's what he was thinking about, not Steve Spurrier. Everybody knew Spurrier was the guy.
Well, at that time, Coach was one of the young guys. Wasn't he only like 40?
He was like an assistant coach or something. You know?
Oh.
Yeah, no, he was 43.
Is that Coach was 43 when he got the job?
Yeah, I think it's 44 maybe. Yeah, he'd been around for a while, and we all knew he was going to be – we didn't know it would be this good, I'll be honest with you. But Arnsberger resisted that, and that person who texted it, I think I might know who it is, he's absolutely right. Bill Arnsberger, if he had his way, would not have hired Steve Spurrier.
Well, I'm glad he did. Buddy, I'm going to read This Day in Sports brought to you by Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise this month. Get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchase, $199 value. The service department's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. I know you remember this. I want to know where you were, and you probably wrote about this in 1985. Mm-hmm. This day in sports, good old Bobby Knight, head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, throws a chair out onto the court. Remember that?
I remember it quite well. Wrote about it. I didn't cover it. I wrote about it and thinking, how far is this guy becoming unhinged? How much work? Because he did this all the time. He was doing, then didn't throw chairs. He did a lot of stupid stuff. He was out of control and nobody could check him because he was Bobby Knight. And that was the beginning of the end, throwing the chair. He just completely lost it. Great coach. Had some great teams in Indiana. A lot of people, Mike Krzyzewski played for him at Army. And he was good, but he just was out of control. You can't do that. Speaking of out of control, how about your man Deion Sanders getting robbed?
Well, I've heard two different stories about this, and I haven't heard what's been confirmed. I heard that his secretary moved his stuff to another room, but then I also heard it was stolen. He came out in the press complaining about it or talking about it, and then whoever stole it put it back. So I don't know what the true story is. Deion got his first win against Edward Waters. Now, let's be honest, Edward Waters out of Jacksonville is not a very good football team.
No, I'll say.
But Deion's got some good players.
I think it's a good thing that Deion's there. You know, I don't know his motivations. I think I do. But, Brady, because Brady coached there. He's the head coach at Askew. And that's the HBC school.
But I also want to say, because I've heard a lot of people, how's Deion getting all these players?
Working for Barstool Sports, too, by the way, at the same time.
Who works for Barstool?
Deion. Yeah.
Okay, but the players that he's getting, and actually he's got a former Gator quarterback, Jalen Jones, who I think – was he kicked off the team here? They made him leave. I can't remember. He's his quarterback. He's got a lot of Division I players, but these kids that signed with him out of this last recruiting class, I think there was a kid out of Vanguard that went there.
Yeah, he played tailback.
Wait, no, that was a couple years ago. Brady signed him, but they just signed the receiver really good.
I got you.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know. Rucker.
But people don't understand, Deion is not getting these players over major Power 5 schools. Something is up with their academics or their test scores or whatever is why they're going to Jackson State. And, you know, it bothers me when people say, well, that kid chose Jackson State over Georgia. That kid chose Jackson State over Florida. That is not the case.
Yeah.
That is not the case. Nobody is going to go to Jackson State to play football if they have an opportunity to go to any other Power 5 school.
I can see one to play for Deion. By the way, Trevante Rucker was a heck of a player. Gators had him committed, but I know his problems were academics. So
yes.
I hate to talk about it. That's what it was. So that's why he's playing Jackson State.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But Rick says, so Deion was robbed unless he wasn't. Either way, he has his stuff back unless he doesn't. So, anyway, buddy, who you got on the show tonight?
Well, you'll be on, and I'm looking forward to having Ben Troop on today. We're going to talk a little more about Black History Month, you know, and the importance of the Willie George, Leonard George. I always say Willie George. I know a guy named Willie George. Leonard George and Willie Jackson, who were so good last night. So we'll have that, and then we'll have our friend from down south of Florida, David Moulton, on the program tonight, 9 o'clock on Facebook Live.
Well, buddy, we appreciate you subbing for Mike Peterson with his meeting he had to jump into. That means I'm going to have to buy you an SOS or a kick drink.
Yeah, buy me a kick.
At the new restaurant.
Yeah, buy me a kick. I want the kick. And I look forward to that day and look forward to having you on the show tonight, as usual. So thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll be talking after a Gator victory tonight. Buddy, be safe down there,
thank
man.
You. Thank you, Shane.
It's Buddy Martin. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. Going to take our final time out of the program. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Tuesday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogre Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. I really want to thank Buddy for hanging in there with us today. I want to apologize for Mike Peterson. Things come up, folks. He was in that staff meeting. He thought he was getting out at 8:15, but we will reschedule Mike P and have him on the program. Don't forget, tomorrow we have Jerry Kramer, old Green Bay Packer, going to tell some good Vince Lombardi stories. On the program, also we'll have JC. Make sure you go to potupwithshane.com, sign up for your Chomp Harder hat, and also for your G-Tech Sport Survival Kit. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by WrapSpot. Be safe out there, folks. We will see you tomorrow.